Good morning to everyone. Our first case this morning is In Re Interest of Jordan B. Mr. Stellick, good morning to you. You may approach.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning. My name is Mitchell Stellick. I represent Jordan, the juvenile in this case. This is a matter that arises under a juvenile adjudication under the Juvenile Code. Jordan is a, at the time of the alleged offense, 17-year-old high school student. He was accused of first-degree sexual assault. His mother runs a daycare, and the alleged assault allegedly occurred at the mother's daycare. He's a 5-year-old alleged victim. Testimony at the time of the trial, or of the contested adjudication, came from the 5-year-old herself, who testified that there had been at least an attempt to some sort of sexual penetration. And there was, I guess, supporting evidence from the alleged victim's young brother and mother, who had reported that the alleged victim had made reports to them of these allegations. And there was testimony from law enforcement regarding interview with Jordan, in which he denied the allegations. And there was testimony from various members of Jordan's family who testified that Jordan was never left at home or at the daycare alone with any of the daycare children. And each of them testifying that they had never observed anything like this happening, and of course Jordan's testimony where he denied the allegations. At the close of the trial, there was also a recorded interview that was offered into evidence that the judge took under advisement to be able to review, and so the matter was taken under advisement. I think the state, at the close of evidence, had made a request that the court consider attempted first-degree sexual assault for the adjudication as opposed to the first-degree sexual assault. The court, after taking the matter under advisement, later determined that the state had not met its burden of proof as it related to the first-degree sexual assault and adjudicated the minor child, Jordan, on a charge of third-degree sexual assault, which the court raised sua sponte. Juvenile timely appealed. We raised in our brief a pretty straightforward argument based on sufficiency of the evidence that the state had not proven beyond a reasonable doubt that the offense had occurred and that the adjudication should not have occurred. The state, in its brief, noted that third-degree sexual assault is actually not a lesser-included offense of first-degree sexual assault.
Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do, but I will say though in the scheme of things, this court reviews the matter de novo on the record anyway, and so while I don't think that there should have been adjudication on third degree sexual assault, it would have been for the same reasons that I don't think there should have been adjudication on first degree sexual assault either, and that is, I think upon a de novo review of the record, the court should find that the state did not meet its burden beyond a reasonable doubt that the juvenile committed any of the offenses.
Is there any suggestion in the record at all that the parties tried this case as a third-degree sexual assault?
I don't believe so. My recollection entirely was that it was first-degree sexual assault. There might have been evidence that would have related to third-degree sexual assault. But I don't
know. Is
there
any objection to that evidence?
No, because it would have been evidence that would have related to the first-degree sexual assault. There would have been evidence, for example, of the victim's statements, both at the law enforcement interview, which I think we referred to as the CAC interview in the record, because the Child Advocacy Center was where that interview occurred, and her testimony itself as to what happened. So to the extent that that evidence could also have been used for the purposes of a third-degree sexual assault charge, had that been the actual charge, I don't know that there would have been an objection for practical purposes anyway. I don't know that there was any direct evidence as to whether these actions were taken for the purpose of sexual gratification, which I think is the differing element between the third-degree sexual assault and the first-degree sexual assault. But again, I suppose that would have been evidence that would have been inferential anyway, and I don't know that there would have been the opportunity for an objection, nor do I think it could have been sustained because it would have related to the state's initial charge of the first-degree sexual assault.
Was the judge really trying to say that this was an attempted first-degree sexual assault?
Well, the order is pretty clear that that he adjudicated the juvenile on a charge of third-degree sexual assault. The order itself does specifically say third-degree sexual assault, and that he found that the state did not meet its burden on first-degree sexual assault. And you'll find that on page 6 of his order. I apologize, I don't have the specific citation to the transcript, but so no, I don't think that that there was a finding that the state had met its burden as it relates to attempted first-degree sexual assault. The ruling was burden was not met as it relates to first-degree sexual assault, and the court sua sponte raises the allegation of third-degree sexual assault, which I think is not a lesser-included offense because of that differing element of the sexual gratification if there is sexual contact.
What's your understanding of what the state's position is in this appeal?
My understanding of the state's position is that they agree that the third-degree sexual assault was something that the court could not have raised. My further understanding is that I think that there's enough differing testimony that there could not have been an adjudication for first-degree sexual assault because reasonable doubt issues there in terms of the juvenile's testimony. I think at one point in the adjudication was that penetration occurred, but the what we referred to as the CAC interview or the law enforcement interview that the court reviewed when he had it under advisement, her testimony was more that it was an attempt type situation. So I think the state's position is that this court can adjudicate on the lesser included offense of attempted first degree sexual assault.
What is your position on that?
I believe that this court could, if it found the evidence compelling, adjudicate the minor child on attempted first degree sexual assault.
Have we ever done that? Is there a precedent for that?
Well, I know that the court can, well, at least the trial court can raise, adjudicate or convict somebody on a lesser included offense if the evidence is there and the court finds that that's appropriate.
Could this be done in the absence of a cross appeal? There's no cross appeal in this case, correct?
I feel that this court reviews it de novo on the record, and I think that this court could certainly find that the ruling of the lower court was an error, and I do believe that adjudicating on the third...
Do we review, or are we a court that makes factual findings and determinations?
Well, it is reviewed de novo on the record. I do know that there still has to be weight given to what the trial court found in terms of credibility and those sorts of things.
If the trial court finds not guilty as to the first degree sexual assault, is that implicitly a finding also not guilty for attempted first degree sexual assault?
I don't, well, given that his finding also found that there was the evidence of the third degree sexual assault, although I don't think that that's something that the court could do under the law because it's not the lesser included offense, I guess I don't necessarily agree that...
Are there double jeopardy issues here?
There certainly could be.
In not finding first degree sexual assault and instead finding the third degree, is the status that attempted first degree, he stands acquitted? That's criminal language, but...
Sure, yes, I understand. Well, I don't believe that he could be, for example, retried, obviously. I don't have a well thought out position on that, and I would defer to the court's ruling.
But we're in this area where criminal principles are being imported into mm-hmm. the juvenile court, which
right.
is challenging.
Right.
Thank you.
So with that, we would ask that the court find that the adjudication should not have occurred and remand with instructions to dismiss the matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Boyle, good morning to you.
Your Honor. Police the court, counsel, my name is Matthew Boyle. I am a Deputy Hall County Attorney for the state of Nebraska, and I obviously am here representing the state in this case, in Ray Jordan B. I was also the trial attorney at the time of adjudication. This is, I think, kind of an interesting case we have presented here with regard to how to proceed. But the state's position ultimately is that I believe that sufficient evidence was established to demonstrate that, at the very least, attempted first-degree sexual assault occurred. The judge's order, while stating that the state did not meet its burden of proof with respect to first-degree sexual assault, which I could argue for, but I think there might be some...
Let me ask you the same question. Has the judge implicitly found Jordan not guilty as to attempted first-degree sexual assault?
I think one could make that argument that because he found that he did not commit first-degree sexual assault and then jumped straight to a lesser-included, a third-degree sexual assault, or attempted to jump to a lesser-included, a third-degree sexual assault, that by implication he's found that there is no attempt. But I think the issue here is that it's not directly addressed. And I think, importantly, it's not that's an issue because I specifically asked him to address that. I raised that as an issue to find for attempted first-degree sexual assault. By staying silent on that issue in the court's order, I think the court essentially set it aside and didn't address it.
From a due process standpoint, was the juvenile aware that the third degree, quote-unquote, crime was on deck?
I think if we're looking at the case law, if I'm being perfectly honest, I don't know that I can confidently say yes. I think
haven't you conceded as much in your brief?
Essentially, I think so, because the bottom line is we're required to allege it because it has a completely different element. Now, I think one can infer the element from all the conduct that occurred here and all the evidence that was elicited at trial, but the bottom line is that the state didn't place the juvenile on notice that was explicitly going to be an element that we were
trying
to address.
And in fact, during the course of the proceedings, as you mentioned, you made a motion to have the charges conform to the evidence and make it an attempted first.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. So my request was to do attempted first. I didn't address third degree sexual assault because, frankly, I thought the evidence was abundantly clear that attempted first degree sexual assault was satisfied.
So the trial court's order seems to suggest that the judge found the victim's testimony credible.
Yes.
Correct? You'd agree with that? So on what basis, the court then goes on to conclude that the burden of proof had not been met. On what basis was that conclusion made?
That the burden of proof wasn't met?
Yes.
My expectation would be that the judge would say the burden of proof was not met with regard to actual penetration. And I think that a fair review of the evidence would indicate that one could surmise from the evidence that actual penetration had occurred. From the statements of the juvenile with regard to the pain caused from the statements from the victim with regard to the pain caused by the juvenile when he attempted to in her phrase, quote, put his wiener in her butt. She indicated on more than one occasion that it caused her pain. She reacted to that. She reacted negatively to that. She asked him to stop. She then got dressed and left. I think from that it is inferable, clearly, that some semblance of penetration occurred. Now, obviously, the degree of penetration is irrelevant. If some aspect of penetration occurs, I think
but
it's
inferable. But the court didn't say, I'm sorry to interrupt, the court didn't say that the failure of proof was penetration. Do we know from the order itself where the proof came up short in the judge's mind?
No, we don't.
Do you have any thoughts on where it came up short?
My only, in reviewing, unless I'm missing something, my only thought on that was actual penetration, because I believe that it's clear, based on the victim's age, she can't consent, she's unable to. The argument was that the juvenile, Jordan, subjected her to some semblance of sexual penetration, or at the very least, what we asked the judge to find is that he attempted to. I think the case law is clear that from the evidence that was elicited at trial, that you can infer the attempt to penetrate based off of his actions of undressing her, isolating her, and the only thing that appears to have stopped the penetration from actually occurring is her intervening acts of objecting to it, kicking away, and then leaving the premises. Laid out, I think there's discussion of the difference between what constitutes sufficient proof for evidence of intent with regard to attempt of penetration. Israel Cruz, a Nebraska appellate court case from 2016, kind of talks through that, and that's a case that actually discusses where there wasn't sufficient evidence of an attempt to penetrate, the intent of an attempt to penetrate, but also walks through circumstances where courts, specifically this court, has found that is sufficient intent to penetrate, and intervening acts, particularly by those of the victim, crying out, objecting, struggling, that sort of thing, which is what happened in this case, is sufficient to demonstrate the intent to penetrate.
Do double jeopardy principles apply in a juvenile adjudication for a law violation?
Without having briefed that, I don't know that I can confidently give a comprehensive answer on that. I would expect that they would, to some degree.
Well, let's take a simple example. Assume the same prosecution for the same charge defense, but the trial judge declines to adjudicate, finding the state failed to meet its burden of proof. Can the state appeal that adjudicator, that non-adjudication?
I would expect, without some further research into it, I'd probably not. But off the top of my head, I don't know that I'm sufficiently prepared to fully answer that question. I apologize for that.
Let's assume for the moment the double jeopardy principles do apply, then given what happened in this instance, the court did not adjudicate on the charge defense or what you asked the court to,
right,
to do, but adjudicated on something that wasn't charged and is not a lesser included of the charged offense. Isn't double jeopardy in the same position that it would have been if, my more simple example?
Obviously a fair argument, but my position would have to be no, simply because I believe the order remains silent on that issue. I don't think it was ever addressed.
Okay, I want to shift for a moment to what I think is the argument that you are making. You're taking a proposition of criminal law, basically, that says when there's a bench trial in a criminal case, the trial judge, as prior of fact, may convict on a lesser included offense. That's one of your propositions.
Correct.
Right? The other proposition is that when we are reviewing de novo cases, or reviewing juvenile cases, we do so de novo on the record. Seems to me the unstated proposition that connects those two would be that when we review de novo, we act as a trier of fact?
To some degree, I think there is that implication, and I think that's if you're going to review de novo on the record, I think that has to some degree be the case, because if you're reviewing something truly de novo on the record and making a conclusion independent of what the ultimate trier fact was or the original trier fact was, if you're doing a wholly new review, I think that there has to be room for this body to make an independent decision with regard to that, and you have to be a trier fact if you're doing that to some degree.
You're not asking us to affirm in this case, are you?
The adjudication for third degree sexual assault.
Yeah, you're not asking us to affirm the order.
I don't believe this court can, because I think that the adjudication was improper. Unless
you're seeking some affirmative relief where we would act to direct that an order entered be other than that entered by the trial board.
If I may respond.
You may respond, yes.
Thank you.
What are you asking us?
We're asking the court to review this case on the record, find that sufficient evidence was elicited to adjudicate under attempted first-degree sexual assault, and enter the appropriate order finding that overturning the essentially the illegal order of raising sua sponte third-degree sexual assault, and finding that the state did, in fact, meet its burden of proof with regard to attempted first-degree sexual assault.
Are you contending that the trial court erred when it adjudicated on the basis of third-degree sexual assault rather than attempt?
My argument is that it committed plain error, because I don't think the court could raise that on its own accord. And I believe that is, simply put, plain error.
You're saying that it's plain error for them to have gone to third degree.
Correct.
But aren't you also saying that it was error for them to not go to attempt?
Yes. Ultimately, yes.
But you didn't cross the field.
But, yeah. I did not, know.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. The next case.